Peace be with you. Friends, these readings for the season of Lent are extraordinarily rich. It's kind of a privilege as a church now to enter into these wonderful texts from our tradition. The first week we looked at the temptations of Jesus. Jesus himself was very much in the spotlight. Last week we looked at Abram, our father in faith. This week the church asks us to look at Moses, another one of these great desert figures for Lent. Our text, our first reading, is one of the most sacred in our whole tradition, because it's the text that tells us God's own self-definition. When Moses asks God, "What's your name?" and God tells him, "I am who I am." It's one of those moments in the Bible when you know something of extraordinary importance has been revealed. The book of Exodus, you know, tells the story of Moses in its usual way, which is to say, with great understatement, great laconicism. The biblical authors often will sketch a story with a few very telling strokes. So here the story of Moses. We know his mother sends him down the river, remember, when the Pharaoh is trying to kill the male children of the Israelites. Moses is found by a daughter of Pharaoh. And so he's raised in this extremely sophisticated environment. Without giving in to all of the imaginative details of Cecil B. DeMille, we can say with some confidence that Moses was raised as a prince of Egypt, probably received a very high-level education, skilled in language and the achievements of this Egyptian culture. The first indication we get in the Bible of the character of Moses tells us a lot about him. We hear that he sees one of his countrymen, a Hebrew, being harassed by an Egyptian. And so very impulsively, Moses kills the Egyptian and then buries him clandestinely. Well, we do learn a bit about his personality. Here's someone rather rash. Here's someone who, like a lot of people raised in an aristocratic environment, well, knows what he wants and gets it without asking too many questions. Well, the next day he finds out that someone had seen this or had heard about it. "Are you going to kill me the same way you killed that Egyptian?" Moses is scared. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Pharaoh had heard about it too, and he was hunting him down. And so this impulsive, rather violent, probably a bit cocky prince of Egypt leaves his country and heads out, like so many other biblical characters, into the desert. How difficult that must have been. This is not someone who is accustomed to living in the desert. We imagine now this prince of Egypt accustomed to living in palaces, fine halls, sophisticated settings, now finds himself wandering in this harsh countryside. How often the great heroes of the Bible have to be chastened. Think of Joseph, who had to go through that terrible experience of being sold into slavery, spent several years in prison, because he wasn't ready as a young man to do the work of God. You might say in a similar way, this well-bred, well-educated, but somewhat self-satisfied prince of Egypt, he wasn't ready either. What did he need? Many years in the desert. He falls in with the family of Jethro. He marries one of the daughters of Jethro. He raises a family. Many years go by. Do you wonder sometimes, did this prince of Egypt ever wonder, how did my life take this strange turn? When, if ever, will I return to my home country of Egypt? How did this happen to me? Many, many years went by. How he must have wondered. And then our story for today commences. Moses was driving his flock across the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. That's Mount Sinai. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a fire flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, "I must go over and look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned." There's so much, of course, in all these passages. First of all, notice the way God appears. In a bush that is on fire with the divine presence, but is not consumed, our God, the true God, is not competitive with us. As though when God comes close, we have to give way. As though when God comes close, we are overwhelmed and consumed by His presence. Think of all those stories in the ancient mythologies. When the gods come, we are overwhelmed, destroyed by them. Not here. The bush, though on fire, is not consumed. So you, Christian, when you let God into your life, you will be on fire with His presence, but you will not be destroyed. It's a beautiful description of how God relates to the world. But listen again to how Moses deals with this. I must go and investigate this odd sight. I must find out why this is true. We are right back in the Garden of Eden, as I said last week. Adam and Eve clinging to the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve wanting to know, to be in control. Here's Moses, despite these many years of chastening in the desert, here's Moses still with a bit of the cocky prince of Egypt in him. I will go and find out what this is. Now listen to how the conversation with God unfolds. When the Lord God saw him coming over to look more closely, God called out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." God knows his name. This wanderer in the desert, this local shepherd, God knows his name, calls him. How does the God of the Bible know us? Intimately. Psalm 139, "Lord, you search me and you know me. You know my resting and my rising. You discern my purpose from afar. Before ever a word is on my lips, Lord, you know it through and through." The true God is a God who knows his creatures intimately. Moses, Moses, and he calls you by your first name. That's how close God is. Well, inspired by this intimacy, Moses says, "Here I am." Well, this is a very intimate God. He knows my name. He's very friendly, accessible. Perhaps I can even control him. Ooh, there's the danger. There's the danger. "Here I am." What does God say? "Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet. For the place where you stand is holy ground." This is deeply biblical, this moment. Is God intimate with the world? Yes. Closer than we are to ourselves? Yes. But don't pretend, therefore, that you can control, manipulate, or dominate God. Come no nearer. Take off your sandals. How powerful that is. When you're wearing sandals, you're wearing shoes, that means you can walk with confidence over even the roughest terrain. That means you can roam around. You're in control. Take off your shoes means you must accept that you're not in control. You are on holy ground. Holy means set apart. Special, sacred, God's place. Don't think you could just come invading in here. Closer than we are to ourselves, yes, and higher than the heavens. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways, saith the Lord. That's the prophet Isaiah. Is God intimate? Yes, more than we can imagine. Is God transcendent? Yes, more than we can imagine. To be in right relationship with God is to live right in the midst of that tension. Listen to how it goes on. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Not only do I know your name, I know the names of your ancestors. I know your people intimately. I know everything about you, Moses. More to it. I have witnessed the affliction of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their cry of complaint. Therefore, I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians. I know your name, I know your people, I know your tradition, and I know the suffering of your people now in Egypt. Who are these people? They're nobodies. They're slaves in Egypt. These are not rulers of the world. These are not a dominant people. Slaves, nobodies. No one pays attention to them. And yet, this God knows them. That's how close He is. He knows their suffering. He knows the cry of their affliction. That's how close this God is. Moses must be feeling lured again by the friendliness and intimacy of God. He knows everything about my people. So he says, when I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers sent me, if they ask me, what's his name, what will I tell them? This is a very dangerous question. It sounds simple. To know someone's name, that's to have control over him. That's true. If I know your name, I can call you and you'll probably turn around. I can leave a message on your machine. If I know your name, I've got some hold over you. What's Moses saying? Which God are you? What's your name? So I can control you, call you, manipulate, or dominate you. What does God say in this wonderful passage, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14? God said, I am who I am. This is what you shall tell the Israelites. I am sent me to you. I am who I am. In some ways, God's saying, stop asking such stupid questions. Which God are you? I'm not one God among many that you can have, control, dominate. More to it, I am who I am. I am not here rather than there. I'm not up rather than down. I'm not the God of this nation rather than the God of that nation. No, the true God is the sheer act of being itself, not any particular thing that I can avoid or control. The true God is that which can be neither manipulated nor avoided. Intimate and transcendent, unavoidable and uncontrollable. Christians, when we know this true nature of God, we can be lured into the right relationship with God. Not dominating Him, not running from Him, but surrendering to Him in love. That's the desert message that Moses learns and that we learn today. God bless you.